This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We might be getting another dog. Naming a dog is important. You got to get the right name. Has to fit the dog. Our Weimaraner, Earl Grey, very, very appropriate name. He's very gray, and he's kind of Earlish. It's perfect. I am Adam Gold. This is the Adam Gold Show. Dennis Cox is here. And in studio, Joe Giglio. I'm not going to editorialize that at all. Joe Giglio from the OG on 99.9 The Fan, 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, right here in Raleigh. Is it cold in here that I don't know about? You got a sweatshirt on?
No, it feels good in here.
Does it feel? All right. As long as it does it. I have a nautical thing going.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm like a...
captain of the ship.
I am a captain.
And you've returned.
And I have returned to my ship. I thank Hayes Permar for not running it ashore while I was... I had a 17th wedding anniversary yesterday.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I was pretty excited. I had a glass of white wine at 12:30 in the afternoon on a Tuesday.
Were you asleep by 3?
No, but I did have a headache at about 6.
See?
So, that's me. All right, let me ask you about the Wolfpack. Last week on the show, we talked a little bit about the Tar Heels and Wake, and I'm going to get to those two. But I am curious about a couple of things regarding NC State. I thought last year, as much as anything, I know North Carolina was missing some talented skill position players, but I thought as much as anything, it was about their offensive line not being good enough. Where are we with NC State's offensive line? Ike Ekwonu is in the league. We know Grant Gibson is back. It's good to have a center back. Where are we with the Wolfpack on the front?
Yeah, I mean, they have four guys with starting experience, Gibson being the best of that bunch. You know, it was a big help to get Chandler Zavala back for the extra year of eligibility that he was able to receive finally.
Wait a second. NC State won a battle with the NCAA? How has that not been headlines everywhere?
They've won their last two, actually. So, I think their offensive line, there's right to be questions about it. You know, last year, even with Ickey, there was a tendency to just run behind Ickey or pull Ickey and run behind Ickey. Yeah. You don't need to be, you know, Buddy Ryan or Bill Parcells to figure out, follow their best blocker, and that's where the run is going to go. So I think they had some problems with predictability with that. Sometimes when you lose a player like that, maybe you make up for it with more so in numbers than you would with just one guy.
Right.
I think what they've done up front is pretty solid. Zavala coming back is a big boost there.
No, I don't think there's any question about that. It's Emeka Emezi. He's gone. Devin Carter has been, I don't want to slander him by saying more of a tease than anything else. Carter has made incredibly difficult catches, but also dropped some bunnies, missed some layups.
Mm-hmm.
What are the expectations for him this year?
One thing I would like to see out of NC State's offense in general, I thought last year they get too rote with where they keep players.
Right.
And back, you know, in when Torrey Holt was at NC State, everybody in the building knew Torrey Holt was going to get the football.
Right.
But Michael Kane would put him in the backfield. He'd put him in the slot. He'd put him in motion. He'd flip the field. You had to work to find Torrey Holt. Okay? The way that Tim Beck runs his offense, Devin Carter's always in this spot. Emeka Emezi was always in this outside spot. And there was no moving them around. He does a better job with Thayer Thomas of that. But I would like to see Devin Carter move around the formation a little bit. Anthony Smith will probably fill in for Emeka Emezi on that outside spot as a deep shot guy. Okay, cool, but I want to see the guys move around a little bit, make the defense work a little bit. That was a frustration I had last year with Emeka, who was outstanding last year. But you'll remember, they would go games and long stretches, including that Carolina game, where you're like, okay, cool. I get that you're trying to get the fourth string tight end the ball, but cool. But how about you go and die with your fastball?
Right.
And when you looked at their best games last year, Emeka would have 10, 11, 12 catches. And you'd be like, oh, that guy who got an extra year of eligibility last year and really shone in that role. So I think Devin Carter could be that type of player for them this year. I really expect both Thayer Thomas and Devin Carter to put up really big numbers this year.
We got 5 minutes in before we had living and dying with your fastball.
I mean, you got to play the hits.
That is your staple. Why hasn't that shown up on a t-shirt yet?
Needs to.
Joe Giglio from The Fan in Raleigh is here in studio with us. All right. It's very easy when you see that State has, I mean, you could make the argument they might have the three best linebackers in the league. They have great linebackers in Wilson and Thomas and Moore.
Yes.
Right? Just dynamite linebackers. You could see the argument that, well, this team can be reliant on defense. How good can their defense be?
It's going to be a challenge to win games with your defense the old-fashioned way, right? I understand Georgia just won the national championship in that type of way, but I don't think we've really done an autopsy on Georgia's schedule last year. And when you go back and you look at the teams who are actually competent on their schedule on the offensive side of the ball, Alabama, when they were healthy, absolutely yes. chewed them up and spit them out. Now, they had all of the talent on the defensive side. This is a long way of me saying, I don't think you can make your bones doing that anymore. Look no further than Nick Saban, who realized this same revelation and now just tries to outscore teams and get stops when they matter.
Right.
I think if NC State can adopt that formula, get the stops when they matter, I do think Peyton Wilson is a difference maker. And when he got hurt in the second game last year, I thought Isaiah Moore stepped up into that void and was a playmaker, a true playmaker. Yep. There's only so many of them in the league. Then, of course, you get to the seventh game, and Isaiah Moore tears his ACL. And then Drake Thomas moves over to the mic where he hadn't played since high school and really just shone. And I thought Tanner Engel on the back end there, too, was like between Engel and Thomas, they made, and Vi Jones, who's gone, one of the few guys who's gone, Vi Jones. They made the plays when they mattered, when they counted, the Liberty game, the Louisville game. You know, those are the games, and I'm going back a season on the Liberty one, but those are the games to me that stand out and you go, okay, you won this game because of your defense. I don't think you can get a steady diet of those things, but there probably will be a Syracuse week where everyone else doesn't really care. And I have a sneaky feeling that Syracuse might be like 5-7 this year. They might be frisky this year, you know, Sean Tucker. And you know what?
Right.
You can't let them just run the ball down your throat. I don't think State's going to let them do that.
All right, real quick, back to your comment about Georgia. Because you're right. They didn't have to be an offensive team last year.
Right.
I think they played Arkansas. And I don't remember if I think the game was in Athens. That doesn't really matter. They played Arkansas at a time where Arkansas was playing really well. And they absolutely manhandled them 31-0.
Right.
Right. Just... So I'm an autopsy of their schedule, fine, but even when we got to the end of the season, when they played Alabama, by the time they got to Alabama in the championship game, that was a neutered Alabama team.
Right, there was all injuries.
Completely neutered. Both the two wide receivers that would have been...
And corners. Like, yeah.
Right, just gone. So they didn't really have to do as much, but they were... I mean, drunk with talent on the defensive side of the ball. I mean,
yeah. Well,
ridiculous.
We know how bad Clemson's offense is now, too. I mean,
right.
So they played Clemson. That was their big game out of the conference in the league. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the SEC. It's the best.
They scored.
It's the best conference in the league. But
Georgia scored 3 points on Clemson's
defense.
The
teams that they played, they weren't that good. Yeah. Certainly not accomplished on the offensive side of the ball until they played Alabama. And like I said, Alabama healthy, chews them up, spits them out.
All right, let me ask you this about one more thing about NC State that I want to ask you about Carolina and Wake real quick. Is this a final exam for Dave Doran?
Yes. Yes. Now, makes it sound like it's pass or fail. I had this conversation.
Cool. Isn't it sort of pass or fail?
I had this conversation with somebody who used to work over there today, actually. We all deserve to live the best version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
This is Dave Doran's opportunity in year 10 to live the best version of himself.
Right.
And I would like for him to do that for his sake.
Right.
Not for anyone else's, but for his. This is his chance.
Yeah, I mean, here's the way I look at it. Like, I think, and I've been saying this for a few years, I think NC State has a great football program. They legit, I think they're going to
I think it's good.
Well... What I'm saying, I think it's in very good shape.
Yeah.
Right? They recruit well. They
know who they are.
I think players get better.
Mm-hmm. They develop players.
They absolutely do that. Like, we don't hear anything bad about State's players. Like, they're solid citizens. I mean, all of the things that you want when you look at your football program as a fan. Like, I think we see all of that at NC State. The one thing they haven't done is they haven't had the big win, the breakthrough win, whether it's a non-conference setting or whatnot, and they haven't gotten the most out of any season. Like, no seasons have they gotten the most. Except the pandemic year, they probably did well. But if we went back and did an autopsy of the teams that they beat, there wasn't a lot of...
They beat the whole Coastal Division other than Carolina.
Right. it wasn't a ton of steak. I mean, right? You know, it's a lot of hamburger.
I hear you.
It's a lot of hamburger there. But, so, I'm not saying that this is not, like, pass, you're great, fail, you have to go. But if it's not going to happen this year.
Right, it won't happen.
It won't happen.
Yes, I agree.
That's where I am. But I really do. I like the program a lot. I think they're reliable. I mean, they'll probably have a couple of dips here and there. I'm not talking about this season, but, I mean, there's a...
Next year.
There's a six waiting for you at some point. But they always seem to have a good quarterback.
They've done well on that front.
I mean, it's just been amazing.
Yeah.
They are QBU. All right, to the Tar Heels real quick. Mack Brown, we are now, 2 weeks away from the start of the season? Less than 2 weeks away.
They play next Saturday.
Right, because they play week zero. I hate the term week zero. He said that he can't believe he's this late in the season. He still doesn't know who the quarterback's going to be.
I mean, Mack Brown is the master when it comes to the media and communication. There's no doubt in my mind. He already has a plan. There's no doubt about that either. You know, forever at Carolina and Texas, he was okay with playing two guys. I've been saying this ever since this question came up. I truly believe he'll play both Drake May and Jacoby Criswell. I truly believe that.
Right.
We saw this when I was at NC State as a student and Mac had that thing running at Carolina. He always played two guys. Always.
Well, that's true.
You know, and then he gets to Texas, and you got Major Applewhite and Chris Sims, and you're going, Mac, you probably need to pick one now at this point.
But that was, he had two pretty good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Two pretty good college quarterbacks.
He usually has pretty good options.
I'm not, okay, we're not 100% sure that we have that yet at Carolina.
Oh, Drake May's brother won a national championship in basketball, and his other brother won one in baseball. I think Drake May is going to be just fine.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to wait and see. Speaking of quarterbacks, Wake without Sam Hartman is what?
They still have the best coach in the ACC, and they're not going to have a losing record.
Did you see ESPN's list of where they put? They sort of buried Dave Clawson on a list because he's not not coaching a national championship contender.
Sure. This is not when the announcement came out about Hartman. I looked at the roster, and I hate to tell people that I do this. It seems very shallow. But I look when I'm gambling on women's tennis, I look at the pictures of the women and I'm like,
right.
I'm not sure. This one pays a little bit too much attention to their Instagram. You know what I'm saying? Like, that one's probably not that good. So, and you believe it or not, this system is fairly successful. So when I'm looking at Wake's roster and I'm looking at Griffiths, I'm going, this is not Jamie Newman at 6'4", 230 hiding out.
He's small.
Now, he's a coach's son. He knows this system. He's been in it for 3 years. Put me or you in there and Dave Clawson probably wins 6-7 games.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm thinking is going to happen here.
I think
their schedule is a little bit tougher. I think their schedule is a little bit tougher than
Joe,
the way that it is constructed. Liberty's on there.
Yeah, but this is not Malik Liberty. This is Malik Liberty. That's probably fair.
They've got some players. Now, you tell me who I'm going to bet on. I'm going to bet on Dave Clawson, okay. But I'm just telling you this is not Jamie Newman hiding out, you know, in the witness protection program. This isn't 6'4", 230. This is 5'11". I think he's 180 or 190, whatever they list him at.
Does Maria Sakkari from Greece, does she pay too much attention to her Instagram? I'm just curious.
I have to look at the picture.
Okay.
Usually the ones I bet on. I'll just tell you, Anz Jabeur is like my favorite tennis player.
Oh, is she? Okay.
You can go from there.
All right, fine. She played doubles with Serena.
Haylup also, you know, can flex a little bit.
No question about that. All right, I want to ask you one thing when we come back about the state of the ACC. You said something a couple of weeks ago that I incorporated into a little bit of a thought exercise on this program, and I want to talk to you about it. Joe Giglio is going to hang with us for a few more minutes. We'll be back to that next.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
Can't wait to place bets coming up at 1:45 today. Haven't done that in a couple of days.
You have me on this program and you can't have me on the Place Your Bets segment. Appreciate it.
Hey, if you ever want to make this a regular stop at 1:45,
okay.
I've been scary successful. I went through.
You've been telling me your baseball run's been hot.
No,
your baseball props.
Yeah, a couple. Yeah. I've gone through a rough patch.
Okay.
Everywhere. I liked cricket. I was really killing cricket for a while.
You have to wait too long for cricket. That's the worst thing to bet on.
I only bet on the one-day internationals. It's an all-day, but at least it's not 5 days.
That's torture.
It is. Totally. But you just pick, you know, who's going to be the top batsman, and those are easy. Those are easy.
Whatever you say.
Just rely.
I believe you.
Rohit Sharma, you're good. Just bet on him. You're fine for India. All right. Let Joe Giglio, of course, from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh. So, a couple of weeks ago, I heard you talking about the ACC in general. We're looking big picture, TV, all of this. Why is the ACC where they are so far back of the SEC and the Big Ten in dollars, also in football quality? Although arguments could be made that the Big Ten isn't that far ahead of the ACC in football quality, even though they are ahead.
Sure. They have more better teams.
Yeah.
They have the top.
More better teams. And I think over the last few years, they probably have separated even further because too many of the ACC's best teams have not been all that great. What do you think the underlying issue is with why the ACC will pay out in the next few years about 45 to 50 cents on the dollar what the SEC and Big Ten will pay out to their schools?
Yeah, the composition of the league is its biggest problem.
Mm-hmm.
And Duke and Wake are original members, and Duke and Wake also had the biggest voices in the room, believe it or not, at the time of expansion. And Debbie Yao has flat out said to me that when expansion was first floated, the private schools were adamant that they would be adding another private academic type institution. They wouldn't just be adding for sports, which is preposterous. And I enjoy Boston College. I love going up to Boston College. I love going to Boston. And when they were running hot with Al Skinner and hoops, good stuff. TOB, good stuff. But they're not relevant. And they play in a city where not only is... I mean, the Patriots aren't even king. The NFL's not even king in Boston.
No.
So you're so far down the line of list of importance when you add a school like that, that it's small, a private school, doesn't have a great fan base. There's not consistent support on a Saturday to go to games. You're adding that to Duke and Wake. Then you add, Syracuse, who, yes, has a bigger basketball following, but just go watch any football game or turn the TV on and you'll see it's empty.
Yeah.
When Clemson's not in the building. So they added the wrong schools. Even Pitt, who they won the ACC last year. When Pitt plays Akron in a Crissier Field next year, there's going to be 30,000 people there a 75,000 seat stadium.
Maybe 30.
And to me, but it was, oh, we're in the Pittsburgh market. We're in the Boston market. Okay, cool. What you need it's called the Big Ten for a reason. And numerically, it's incorrect, but big is the part that's right. They're gigantic state schools.
Yeah.
With huge numbers of both students and alums, and you have people who follow Minnesota football. You have people mm-hmm. who follow, you know, Iowa football, Wisconsin football. Those aren't even the brand names of the Big Ten, but that's how you sell a network. You have one little brother in Northwestern,
right,
and or the brains of the operation in Northwestern, and the rest of the league, whatever they get up to now, 18 or whatever it's going to be, you know, those are the schools, like huge state schools with huge alums. Like there's more Ohio State alums in my neighborhood and in Garner than there are Duke alums, obviously.
Yeah.
That's just math.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
But Duke's, you know, 28 miles down mm-hmm. the road. You know, Columbus is 12 hours away. So when you have these smaller brands mm-hmm. and you expanded with the intent of adding small, private, academic, like-minded mm-hmm. institutions, like the myopic decision-making there is just... It makes me want to pull out my hair, but I understand that these presidents make decisions for reasons that, how does it look to everyone else? We can't add ECU. We can't add West Virginia. Those are dumb schools.
Right. No, I 100% agree. I think the one miss in terms of adding a football brand is probably West Virginia.
Yes.
Right. That would be the miss, which, who knows, maybe down the road is rectified. If the ACC does find the need, the time to expand further. I think the answer is not Boston College, is not Pitt, is not Syracuse, who, depending on how far back you go, are really good adds to the conference. But I think the problem is that Miami has not been what Miami was expected to be. Florida State, it's now been a decade. Well, it hasn't quite been a decade, but close.
We're getting there.
Right? We're getting there since Jimbo dragged the Christmas tree out to the curb on December 2nd or whatever it was, that Florida State's stopped being relevant. Virginia Tech isn't and hasn't been, even at the end of the Frank Beamer era, has not been relevant. I think the football brands of the ACC have been more of the problem for the way the league is perceived.
It's a double whammy, right? So you have the composition of the league, which you have too many small schools and too many small right. fan bases, and then the ones that you're actually counting on to carry the water. Virginia Tech's a great example. Miami's a tough one because they're also a private school.
Right,
and again, I've been to plenty of Miami games where the place is empty.
Thing about Miami, that's always been the case with Miami, but the football brand has always overcome that.
Right.
The truth is that they only really sold out when it was Florida State. They didn't sell out for some of the...
We're talking about the old Orange Bowl, or you're talking about like the Butch Davis by the time they moved to Joe Robbie?
I don't know as much about the Butch Davis era, but when I was growing up, I mean, they only really sold out the Orange Bowl when it was Florida State. Now, not that they wouldn't get a lot of people, but they were a great television property. To me, Miami is like the Dallas Cowboys, is that they have probably more fans around the country than they do in Miami.
Well, they have more fans on Twitter than they have anywhere else on the planet.
It's just a tremendous TV show. So when Miami is good, when Miami is good, all the Miami fans come out. And Miami just hasn't been at that level. And, I mean, it's reasonable to think that they'll never be at that level again.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, and you know the answer as to why. Florida International didn't exist. Central Florida didn't exist. South Florida didn't exist. You know, I love to give the example of Willis McGahee, a two-star running back out of Orlando. He never ends up at Miami.
Right.
In today's climate. He goes to FIU. He goes to FAU, who I didn't even mention. None of those football programs existed when Miami was running hot. And they got so many local players who were just like, you know what? I'm going to wait my turn behind Michael Irvin, behind Bernie Kosar. I'm going to wait my turn. And you don't see that anymore at Miami.
So if Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, if they return to being, again, we're not going to have Florida State finish in the top four of the AP poll for 15 straight years. Miami's not going to win, you know, average 11 wins a year, what Clemson has been doing. They're not going to do that. But if they become top 15 programs,
Miami has a chance with Chris the Ball and this NIL money.
Right.
They have a chance.
But if these things happen, then the perception of ACC football will change, and it won't be, well, who has Clemson played every year?
Right. Well, also, when you think about it as strictly as a television product,
when you look
at the highest rated games, it's only Clemson is involved in all of those games. To your point, if you could just get Miami up a little bit, you can get a Miami-Carolina game, a Miami-Pitt game, a Miami-Virginia Tech game that people will tune into and say, oh, this actually has a meaning to the ACC race and not just because Clemson's over here dominating the world.
How many ACC games that don't involve Clemson have been must-see television?
Outside of this area?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, people outside this area aren't going to consider State Carolina must-see.
Right. But even if you put that one on the list... Right? There haven't been many.
You'd have to be a true ACC fan to say...
Notre Dame would have to be involved in the matchup.
Right. But you know, I mean, State Wake, the Wake Carolina games have been good.
Local to
State
us here.
Carolina games have been good.
But ESPN saying, well, we got to put this one on primetime.
No, Louisville with Lamar.
When it was Lamar.
Yeah.
Right. Louisville's another program that could be part of the football pedigree if they do it right. Yeah. If they do it right.
When they were at it, they were.
They just haven't had it. So, State Miami in Charlotte?
That's what I have, yeah.
That's what I had, too. Or I have. That's what I voted for.
Mm-hmm.
I picked Miami.
I could see that, yeah.
Just, if I'm going to be crazy, I might as well.
You might as well.
Actually, I should have gone the other way. I should have just gone all in with Dave Dorn. Give me 12-0. 13-0.
I love State schedule. I really... think they're going to make some hay.
4-0 headed to Clemson, right?
Yeah, I actually think they're going to beat Clemson. I do.
Beat Clemson?
It's the next week that I'm worried about.
what is the next week?
Florida State.
At home.
Sneaky.
Gosh. Joe Giglio, you're the man. I appreciate your time.
You got it.
3:00 today, if you are listening in Raleigh, and why wouldn't you be? Joe and Joe on the OG. All right, it's halftime. I wish the cameras could pan down. Giglio just crawled.
Yeah.
He crawled in front of the desk.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
You know, here's the thing, though. The graphic was on the screen, so if he would have walked by, no one would have noticed.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He could have just scampered out.
He could have.
Do you think Giglio scampers?
Probably not.
He has no scamper in him.
No. None whatsoever. I tell you, the media up there in Boston... Or yeah, Foxborough, I should say, covering the Panthers up at the Patriots for their joint practices. Oh, they're scampering to grab their binoculars and check out some of these scuffles that are taking place.
I saw. By the way, we've spent the last day or so discussing, apparently, like, what is real media and what is fan media.
Yeah.
In Boston, half of the media... is fan, like legitimate media, is fan media, including Zolak and who's the other guy?
Bertrand? Yeah, this is Zolak and Bertrand today.
The Sports Hub, I believe.
Yeah, 98.5, I believe. Sports Hub. They're actually live doing their show at Patriots training camp during the joint practice. Here's them
describing the ruckus.
Yes. But which, by the way, to give you a visual on this, they're just looking through binoculars, staring at the practices, giving you a play-by-play of what's happening.
All right, we're live for Patriots training camp, where there have been multiple fights over the last couple of days, and there's been another one, but this follows a play on which a Patriots player was injured and remains down on the field.
This drill got escalated by the Panthers here because they went after Slater on the second one. The second dust-up, this is number three in a freaking kickoff drill. A kickoff drill where the Panthers are kicking off. Patriots are in return mode. They had five guys that got after Slater on the second scrum.
They've separated all the players. They've sent them on their way into the next period. So you've got...
Looks like it was Wilkerson.
And now here comes another major fight. It's happening right in front of the stands.
These guys are, man.
It's going to involve much of each team at this point in time.
Get these clowns out of here.
Oh, they're right up against the stands.
And all they want to do is fight. This is unreal. I've never seen anything like this.
Yes.
Players are coming from the other field now.
And again, all the players from
the opposite field
are now running in.
This is like cattle. Now the Bill's calling the team over now.
They're so steamed up.
Oh, there's another dust up over here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. They're, all the dusting.
35 from the Panthers here. I got the.
I mean, at this point.
Jim, what do I do with that damn thing?
You've now had three scrums here today in this practice. You had three of them yesterday.
Oh, we got another one over here.
And another one is now starting here.
Holy
I mean,
crap.
At some point, they're going to have to maybe separate
Jones,
these
Mac
two
Jones
teams.
Here is chirping at one of them. Nope. He was just threw the ball to Aguilar. So they're calling both teams together here. The Patriots, it's Belichick again in the middle here. Mr. Kraft now is in the middle with Bill.
Oh,
look at this, man. Wow, I have never seen anything.
What a scene.
Look at him. He's getting right in the middle with Bill is Mr. Kraft.
Oh.
Panthers are over here down on one knee as they huddle right next to the – I've never seen anything like this at a camp.
But as the Panthers walked back, they didn't walk around like a few yards. They walked
right up
against them, so they'd be rubbing up against them as they walked
right
by.
Classless. Cocky bunch, man.
Classless. Cocky bunch.
Hey,
yes.
Nelson Aguilar, did he hang on?
That was a touchdown.
Did they say Jesus Christmas earlier?
Yes.
That was Zolak.
Man, this is great today.
Now it's great.
Yeah.
Now it's just spike the ball. Now it's great. I don't even care. It's so funny.
Anyway, that was, two plus minutes of something that really made my day.
Homer.
Just, yeah. Okay. And that is, again, a conversation about, what is supposed to be,
whatever,
quote unquote, unbiased media. What's, Homer. I would, for example, there are a lot of websites and podcasts and shows that are dedicated to a specific team or school. For example, like Pack Pride. Like, that is all about NC State, which is fine. But that's what it's all about. Inside Carolina is all about UNC. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's exactly what it is. So I had to keep those things in mind. But, man, they're all sorts of steamed up, just staring through their binoculars and everything.
Yes.
I'm wondering if the weather had anything to do with it. This is actually J.J. Jansen, as well as Johnny Hecker, before all the practices started today, talking about how nice things were up there.
Okay.
So Johnny, help me out here a little bit. Guest host Johnny Hecker. All right, weather report today. It's a little more of an overcast day here in the New England area. About 65, 66 degrees. Winds out of that direction at about 8 to 10 miles an hour. Maybe a mist here or there. Anything to add?
Risk of sunburn is very low. That's all I really care about.
Johnny still went with sleeves just in case.
Life's
those
good.
UV rays.
Life is good.
And traffic wasn't too bad today. So make sure that's it. That's all I got. See ya.
Yeah,
that was it.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's all I got. See ya.
Maybe it was the winds out of that direction that caused all of this today. I don't know. But it was fun. It was a fun day so far, and Christian McCaffrey was involved in one of those fisticuffs and stuff. It's fine. I'm all for it. Now, I know you talked earlier with Kanata Edwards about Bally Sports Plus.
Yes.
Now, just to kind of give people a little bit of information regarding this, you know, there's a lot of questions about what can you watch, what can you view while you're on Bally Sports Plus. Now, this is going to launch fully on September 26th. Now, Bally Sports only has streaming rights for NBA and NHL. So Major League Baseball is not included with this yet because they do not have the streaming rights. They have the over-the-air or the cable broadcast rights, but they do not have streaming rights as of right now. So keep that in mind if you're looking to get it, that you can't just sit there and like, I can watch Braves games now. No, that's not the case. So the launch for this fully is going to be September 26th. They've launched in a few markets as a soft launch, test stuff out. For example, Kansas City, Wisconsin, Detroit. But all 19 of the RSNs are going to allow you to watch live local NBA and NHL games, pregame and postgame shows included, as well as regionally produced programming, for example, college football and basketball and high school sports. But also, you can watch their daily shows like The Rally and Live on the Line powered by BetMGM, so like their betting show. So you can watch those on this app. Now, there is the question of, again, what do you have access to in terms of where you live? So the restrictions in terms of your region are still going to apply. The reason why I bring this up is Kanata Edwards said, well, hey, you know what? You better be a Canes fan if you're a Hornets fan in order to make this work or vice versa. Well, I know here in Raleigh, where we're located, we can't watch Hornets games because that is technically Bally Sports Southeast, whereas Bally Sports South is here in Raleigh. At least that's how the Spectrum does their channeling with that. So I'm not even sure if in Raleigh you're going to be able to watch Hornets games, or if you're in the Charlotte area, if you're going to be able to watch the Hurricanes.
Here's my question is this, because in many cases, for instance, if you had DirecTV or Spectrum, you might have a second option.
Yeah.
Right? So I just wonder if you'll just simply be able to click on Hornets if you are here in, you know, the central part of North Carolina, if you're not in the Charlotte market. I don't know the answer to that. All of it's troubling for me. The price point is troubling because, for people who have unbundled, the reason to get rid of Spectrum, the reason to get rid of DirecTV, for, I would say, the overwhelming majority of people, is cost.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I've literally saved about $100 a month on getting television into my house, switching from DirecTV to YouTube TV.
Yeah.
Right. Saved more initially, but then YouTube's prices went up. Still making out way ahead. But very few people, I shouldn't say very few, but a lot of people are not just, you know, going to the streaming services, the YouTubes. They're also adding a Netflix or an ESPN Plus or a Disney Plus or a Peacock or something else. So $20 a month?
Yeah, $19.99. Or if you want to pay for a full year, it's $189.99. So $190, basically.
I just don't know.
I don't know either. And here's something as well, is that if there was a question brought up, if you live in a market with two Bally Sports regions, North Carolina being a good example of that, will you have to pay double the amount? There are additional pricing options that will be made available closer to launch. So if you do want to watch the Hornets, if you're in Raleigh or if you're in the Charlotte area and you want to watch the Hurricanes, yeah, you might probably going to look to pay more. And to me, it's not, in my opinion, it's not worth it. In my opinion, honestly, it's not worth it. Now, for somebody that's looking to the final excuse to get rid of Spectrum or DirecTV in order to watch Hurricanes,
right,
okay, then this might be the thing for you. But like you said, some other of these networks or these other streaming platforms, the prices are increasing. And my always thing I would get to on this is, how do you reach a casual fan? How do you grow a fan base if people don't know what's out there? How do you reach a casual fan? For example, if the Hornets are making a playoff run and they're hot late in the season and people want to tune in to watch games, you can expect them to pay $20 a month just to be a casual fan to tune in. People aren't going to do that. They're just not. Or same thing with the Hurricanes. Hey, it's a late season playoff push. You know, they're trying to get in or whatever it may be, or they're just having a great season. Casual fans aren't going to drop $20 to watch the team. They're just not. I'd much rather go to a sports bar.
Me too.
Now, you mentioned Disney Plus.
Although if you go to the sports bars a lot, it's more than $20 a month.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially. But if I want to watch just one game,
yeah,
then that's what I'm likely going to do. Now, Disney Plus, you mentioned earlier, is now actually going to have tiers. So they are going to have some pricing increases. Now, we did see ESPN
Plus. Those will bring tiers.
Yeah, they will bring tiers, trust me. Now, ESPN Plus has already jumped up to basically $10 a month or will be increasing their prices. Disney Plus is going to have a jump as well. They're going to have two tiers, a basic tier where it's $7.99 a month. It's going to have ads, but there's no option for a yearly subscription, whereas they're going to have a premium tier that doesn't have any advertising, but it's $10.99 a month, or you can pay $109.99 annually. So there's some different stuff with Disney Plus. There's still the bundle that you can get, obviously, with Hulu, ESPN Plus. So there's some options with that. But it really is kind of for a consumer to see the stuff that I enjoy just all of a sudden just increasing prices for the sake of doing it. It's like everything else is already increasing prices. Why not us? It's not like the fact that my food costs more now,
right,
or that my rent jumped up $250 a month. Now I got to pay more just to watch television. I don't know. It's annoying to say. One other quick note, the NBA this upcoming season is not going to have any games on Election Day. So all 30 teams are going to compete on November 7th, the night before the midterm elections, and hopefully encouraging, they're going to use their platform to hopefully encourage people to get out and exercise their right to vote. So no teams are going to play on November the 8th, that Tuesday.
good for the NBA.
I think it's great.
And I know they're going to be very creative in terms of getting people, their players getting people out to vote.
So, yeah.
Good. Do your civic duty.
I'm very much for that.
Yes.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.
Carolina Hurricanes have signed one of their draft picks a couple years ago, defenseman named Antoni Honka. Yes, he is from Finland.
The Honka?
Yes.
The Honka truck?
Three-year entry-level contract. Not big, 5'10", but offensively gifted right-shot defenseman. 37 points in each of the last two seasons in the Finnish league. That's an excellent league. 37 points in 50-some-odd games each time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty good work for somebody who was, you know, between 19 and 21 playing full seasons the last couple of years. So, good player. We'll see how he develops. He'll spend, I'm sure, the entire season in Chicago, unless there's a rash of injuries, but that's where he's likely headed to play with the Chicago Wolves. So, that's good. All right, I don't know what's going on the last couple of days. Let's add them up, see where we are.
Place your bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you nothing.
So I won my first two Champions League bets. Not Champions League, my Premier League bets this weekend.
Very nice.
And I had Tottenham winning outright at Chelsea. Mm. And, of course, Chelsea dominated the match and should have won that match outright, which would have made me also a loser in that. But if I'm not mistaken, you had a draw in that match? Or was that – did you not have any action on that?
That match – I believe I had a draw in that match.
Yeah, well, it ended up a draw. I had no business ending up in a draw, but it ended up 2-2.
Yeah.
Tottenham stole points from Chelsea. That was hysterically bad refereeing, but it was also poor playing on the part of Chelsea, even though they dominated the match. All right, Dennis Cox, where do we go?
All right, I'm going to start things off in Major League Baseball. Give me Juan Soto hitting a homer at plus 550.
Juan Soto to homer, who are they playing? The Reds?
They're in Miami.
They're in Miami, okay. Oh, that's right, the Padres. I actually had him still on the Nationals. All right,
nope,
so
that changed.
Juan Soto at Miami at plus what?
550.
That's very good. Good value. My value is not great today. Actually, I have one that has value. Braves have beaten the Mets two in a row in Atlanta.
Interesting.
Two dominating wins, I think 13-1 the other night, 5-0 last night. Max Scherzer tonight for the Mets. Jake Odorizzi for the Braves. Give me the Braves tonight. Plus 130.
Plus 130?
Plus 130, straight up.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go to the English Champions League.
All right.
Stoke City, Middlesbrough.
It's the English League
Champions. I'm sorry, English League Champions.
Championship.
Sorry, my apologies.
You can just call it the championship.
Okay, well, I'm going to the championship.
Second tier of English football.
Yes. Stoke City, Middlesbrough, draw, plus 220.
Big match for Middlesbrough. Zach Steffen, who has designs on being the top keeper for the U.S. men's national team, has not been great, and that's putting it mildly. At some point, Zach, you got to stop the ball from going in.
And that's what you're paid to do, right?
Otherwise, they'll use Slanina or Matt Turner, who isn't playing at all for Arsenal behind Ramsdale. All right, my next – I'm going to go Champions League qualifying. Maccabi Haifa.
Okay.
Not Maccabi. Maccabi Haifa plus 130 to beat Crevena, Zvezda, something. I don't know where they are, but I'll take the Israeli team to win their home match. An Israeli team is this close to qualifying. This is the last round of qualifying. We have the main draw coming out in 2 weeks.
Okay. I have no idea what any of that means, that's fine. But because of that, I'm taking Sheffield United, Sunderland. The first goal of that game is going to be scored in the first 10 minutes. First and 10th minutes, plus 310, a goal is going to be scored in the first 10 minutes.
Sheffield's a big, big favorite at home, I guess, over Sunderland. Huge favorite at home over Sunderland.
I think the overall bet line is...
That's what I thought.
They're a minus 130 on the money line.
Yeah.
Sunderland's a plus 370. But I think a goal is going to be scored in the first 10 minutes. Doesn't matter whom.
Fast start for Sheffield United. Not Sheffield Wednesday. They are both in the championship. All right. My value pick comes in the World Junior Hockey Championships. Connor Bedard to score the first goal for Canada today at plus 500 in their match with the Czech Republic. Actually, just Czechia. It's not the Czech Republic anymore. Yeah. It's Czechia. So give me Connor Bedard to score the first goal at plus 500 in that match. Somehow I am still at plus 3615. I went through a rough patch. Okay. I went about 5 days without a win. All right. And then I won like 4 out of 6 over a 2 day period.
There
so it was a good, successful Premier League weekend for me. Except that yesterday or Monday, Liverpool disappointed.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.